Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Laura Della Corte, and we are here with Maria Gisela Arroyo, Giulia De Castro, and Mara Ayuso for the film On The Go, Di Cineasti Del Presente. So my first question for, you know, all three of you is about music. You know, music was, like, essential, like in Corridas de Alegría, too. And what was the overriding intention, you know, to the use of these kind of songs? And if you can, you know, break down which groups sings which songs in, you know, the key moments of the movie. I will pass this.
So, as you said, no, it's painting like a radiography or an echography of the actual music scene of today, as Corridas de Alegría was doing, no? So we are working with actually some musicians that are also in the film, like Álvaro Romero, who is singing the Saeta del Pirómano. We hear Saeta del Pirómano at three different moments in the film. And then we also have Miguelito García, who is the singer of Derby Motoretas Burrito Cachimba, that we listen to their song as they're still in the car on the go, no? And you can continue also.
Well, I can say that we also homage the music from the 80s. The film starts with one of my favorite songs ever, which is like a shot from an 80s band, like progressive rock band called The Burning, but they sang in English, but they were from Madrid. And I think this kind of distortion from psychedelic music, it fits a lot with the moment we were living to. So we also homenaged other musicians like from the past. And I wanted to maybe to stress someone, especially because we discovered this young girl. She's a flamenco guitar player. She's, I don't know, I think she's 12 years old or something. And she just arrived with a group of people that, because we were, there's a scene at the baptism, and she spontaneously started to sing, to dance, and to play. And I don't know how it's going to be, how far she's going to be her career, but I'm really proud to have the opportunity to shoot her and to put her music on the screen. And their name is La Chirli. It's like a nickname.
No, yo lo único que quería añadir es que...
No, the only thing I wanted to add is that in a film that, from the way it was conceived, the commission has been able to make a clear picture of how it has been in the end, in most respects. And the film development has varied greatly from what was imagined to that it turned out to be. I think that one of the ideas that has been maintained and enshrined in the from the beginning was the film was not just going to be about a road movie, but it was also going to have a lot of musical moments with appearance by the artists themselves who sang those songs, and that it was also a tribute to that music. It's not traditional, but it also Andalusian folklore, but it is not folklore understood as the folklore of the past, but the folklore of the Andalusian power of the year 2022.
Another of the musicians that actually is in the film too, Juan Luis Mantilla, who is Damopa, and he sings the electronic Sevillana in the baptism too. And then we also have KMP, which is a post-punk.
Paco Soto
is also playing the guitar in the baptism, and KMP is musical also in two different moments. And they're also part of the crew.
Ah, and I said traditional, but I didn't include El Yunque, no? The first song and the last song, they were from the past.
Nice, thank you so much. And my question for Omar is, you know, your character embarks on this journey, like you said, is not only a road movie, but you are guided like just a mysterious siren, the actors that is not here. And how did you prepare for the role and actually convey the significance of this magical element in the story?
El personaje de Jonathan es un personaje real.
To form the character, Jonathan is a real character. There is, in fact, the initial idea of the director was to that the actor playing Jonathan was Jonathan himself. I'm the second choice, but I love being second choice. So first of all, what I did was to get to know the man himself, Jonathan, and ask a lot about Jonathan's life. In particular, I remember playing over and over again an audio of Jonathan that Julia had given me. He said, in which I heard Jonathan speak and express himself. And having understood these points, which also are points that I can understand because I'm homosexual and there is a whole imaginary that there is a whole trauma collective within the homosexual who is as a result of this drama we all live, and are quite common and have to do with the use of sex as a way to of self-punishment that has to do with the avoidance of emotional baggage, which has to do with somewhat complex paternal and filial ties, and that's where the research work was born, actually. That's about it. From reference that I took as quite a few people close to me, but especially to Jonathan, obviously, and then it's all so much more. There is a whole intellectual part, which are the mouth of rehearsals and reading the script and thinking. Then when you get to the film, to the filming, to the process of doing all this that has to stay in the background, unconscious and simply have to be alive, listening to what directors want, understand what they want from each scene. The truth is that I did a bit of what I wanted to do, and I felt like it, at some points in the film, it was not very obedient. But I think the result is cool, don't you? And the relationship with the queen element is that I just think that the both Julia and I, we treat the queen as a real character from the very beginning. Even though he's a magical character, even though they might be reading that the reality does not exist, that it is only an imagination, or that it's something that is at the forefront of miracle alone, I think that in the end we treat it as we do. And who is the character who is in some way like the fairy is a character who is in some way who carries magic, wand and guide us through it all for that road movie, because in the end the road movie begins with her in the aim of taking her to the sea. So it functioned a bit like a guardian angel, and this is the way of Jonathan and of the miracles.
El camino de Jonathan y de milagros.
And, you know, the team of embracing this spontaneity when, you know, you are telling the story of these three characters is genuine, and, you know, there are reactions that seems like real, you know, not... with a director behind them to tell how to do them. So how did you foster this kind of environment on the set and that has to lead to this authentic moment to shine through the narrative of the film at the end?
How did we do that? I wonder. I don't know. Probably because it's our first film. No? So there is some kind of freshness already in our view and in having to get to the middle ground between Julia's perspective and mine, no? Because we co-wrote it and we come from very different perspectives, but we, very generously from both sides try to really understand each other and find what's common. And in that sense, you're finding something that's much more rounded because at least it has two different points of view already. So it has that depth. And it takes a lot of effort to actually listen and dialogue to somebody else. But the result is something that can never be done only by one person. So there is something new. Yeah, it's something new. And I think maybe that's what you are, what you're seeing. Something that is neither hers or mine. It's both of ours. Yeah.
Since the beginning, we decided a methodology and we promised ourselves that the most important thing for making the film was that anyone who watched it could say, could perceive, they really had fun during doing this. And we took it very seriously. Like, because that was one point. And I think overall, the layer that was for me like the most incredible one is that one. I think we got it finally. And then because our relationships, not only Maria and me, also with Omar, also with the people who just met doing this film. By the way, I think it's an important, very important point to say that I think 50% of the team, it had less than 25 years. It was their first film. It was our first film. And that was like to create a methodology. Like we don't care. We never had the experience to create a movie. You know, we didn't have this kind of people who I totally respect. Like they took years, no? They first were, I don't know, in a film school. Then they participate in other. No. The makeup artist, like Lucas, he was on the screen. It was the first time he did a movie in his life. He never had the experience. He never knew what to do. And we were like, that's fine. We're going to do it together. So I think that's something that we reflect on the film also. It's also in the film. This
young.
I'm not younger, but I young on the doing film. So I think we transmit this too.
Maybe. And also it was a very small crew too. Yeah. So we were very flexible and moving all the time and being able to, like, there was a whole part of the script that fell during the shoot because of economic reasons, and we had to come up with a new scene out of the blue in the day off. We went to the actors and the whole Palomar scene we created during the shoot in our day off. So it was flexibility, I think.
On the Go was the more fucking crazy shooting I have been in my life. It was a chaos. But the amazing is from this chaos emerged a fucking very good film.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Lo he dicho antes en la película, es un milagro.
I've said it before in the film, it's a miracle just to be here. It's a miracle that the film exists because it's a very complex route and we enjoyed it a lot. But what I saw for the first time, many things I had not seen before, but this is wonderful. And I believe that this is the root of the freshness in sometimes cinema that is very difficult to create from spontaneity. Because there are a lot of rules, a lot of limits, there is a lot of planning, there is a timetable, there is scriptwriter, and it didn't matter everything could vary because the creators were writers, the directors, they were the producers, the actors were, because there were no producers there who have invested money and who have demands. Therefore, we could do whatever we wanted to do, and because we lived in a bubble, cohabitation, we lived in the same place in where the same people worked and lived, and so the room in which it happens, one thing in the room, in which the actors slept. In other words, it was like this, and I think that's what it makes this a very unique experience, because then the rest of the shooting of the films are the same. Equality is truth.
Porque luego el resto de los rodajes de todas las películas son iguales. Iguales.
Yeah, for me, actually, it was unexpected, so, yeah, I think it's, you know, like... It's like it touches, you know, freedom, youth, very different themes and challenges of our generation too, because it's something that is totally different from what you have seen before or what you expect, you know, from this kind of festivals too. So, yeah, for me it was like amazing. And how did you hope, you know, when you see the audience this morning, how did you hope them to react, and how did you feel to be there at the premiere, actually?
It was really great, no? I was saying earlier, like, it was the first time with an audience that we didn't know before, and they were laughing in the right places, even in places that I didn't expect anybody to laugh, and they were like giggling, and that it felt like people were really enjoying it. It was sold out, and we were really scared that maybe there's nobody in the room, and suddenly we get in and this huge cinema full of people, and then most of them stay for the Q&A. It was, I don't know, it's really anything that we could have dreamt of, no? And yeah, let's see what happens next.
Yeah, I subscribe everything. Like I didn't expect anything. Maria is more like afraid about the people. I don't know. I have this character that I don't care. Like it's okay if the people wouldn't have received as they did because it was really nice. I still watch the beginning of this movie and I say like, I love what we did. You know, I'm so confident of that. I don't care because I just know what we did, and I'm very, very calm with that. I'm like, Mary, look at this. Like, it's amazing. Even though, you know, the people is not understanding, I'm like, I'm proud. So I'm happy.
Did you expect all this public, or how the public reacted, or did you expect that one?
No, yo como te he dicho, para mí es un milagro que estemos aquí. O sea...
No, as I said, for me, it is a miracle that we are here. I mean, it's just, what did you expect? But because I love you, and because I like the story, and because I like the concept, and because I wanted to be, to live the experience, and I had no confidence in the outcome, because my love, the number of probabilities of this was very small. And it turned out well. There was no money. There was no money. It was our first film. We went to 16 millimeters and one shot. It was all going against the grain with a crying desert cameraman. Sure, but I didn't trust, not because I don't believe in your talent, which I believe it in very much, but because the means of the idea was very ambitious for the means available, and that's why I think it's a miracle. And but when I saw the first cut of the film, I knew or sensed that it was what was going to happen today, and I'm really glad it happened because it fell in the cinema. There are connected people, and sometimes it's difficult in a cinema for people to be connected, very difficult, and even more so now in a world where we are such collapsed up with lots of audiovisual TikTok and everything is being before, and I have the feeling that people have seen it as something new. Thank you so much. So, Fred Finn Radio, we've been here for Maria Gisa Arroyo, Julia De Castro, and Omar Ayuso for On The Go. Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.